Hello, everybody, and welcome to StarCast. Once again, I'm your host, Matthew Williams. Today, we'll be talking to out-of-state athletes and how they play into the Dominican community. I'm talking with Rachel Huser and Brett Carroll today from the soccer and baseball team, and we will see what all goes on in the life of an out-of-state athlete. Here we go. So welcome to my two wonderful guests, and I've already given you an introduction, but I'd love if you both gave me your name, and what sports you play. Just I want to hear your own mouths and stuff, and see where do you come from? What out-of-state place are you from, if not here in Illinois?
I'm Brett Carroll. I'm from San Diego, California, biochemistry major, play baseball, I'm a pitcher, and yeah, that's about all there is to it.
I'm Rachel. I'm on the women's soccer team. I'm a goalkeeper. I'm from just outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I'm a double major in corporate communication and digital journalism with a minor in social media.
Very nice, very nice. And for those who actually don't know about me, is I'm from Oklahoma, and I used to be on the cross country team, so I used to actually be an out-of-state athlete myself. And so, part of this, will besides my two wonderful guests, you'll get to hear a little bit about my history being an out-of-state athlete too. Why did you choose Dominican? There's tons of probably places in-state you could have gone to, probably more local colleges. Why come all the way out here to Dominican?
Brett, you want to go first?
I can start here. All right. So for me, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I feel like about any other out-of-state student athlete, a lot of people don't really know about Dominican until, the offer shows mail or whatever. And then you're like, well, I want to keep playing, so here I come. that was my thought process, It was like, I wasn't totally set on what I wanted to do in school either. So I was just like, this is a good time for me to find myself. I knew I was a big science person, but I figured this would be a good time to totally nail down what I wanted. And also get to play the sport that I've loved playing since I was a little kid. So that was basically my choice.
Yeah, I feel like that's a lot of answers, like you said, Brett. But I think for me, I really, it's always been, a dream of mine to play college soccer. It didn't really matter what level it was. But I really wanted to get away from home because I don't know. I absolutely love Minnesota. There's nothing wrong, living there. But I had helicopter parents. I was I'm the oldest. And, so of course, my parents were always on my back, that type of thing. So I wanted to get away, far enough away where they couldn't make a day trip every other weekend.
That's
right. Right. So I had actually originally had committed to a school probably 2 hours north of where I was from. So further up at Arrowhead. But I had one more tournament in Vegas, actually, and that's when the head women's soccer coach came, and asked me to visit. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm more of a person, leave no stone unturned, that type of thing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I decided to give it a tour, and, it's about 6 hours from Minneapolis. That's how far Chicago is. And I was this is already a little more interesting than the other school that I was looking at. But I toured it, and I absolutely loved, the campus. I loved how small it was. It was
spartan. The size is great.
Yeah, exactly. And, I know all the, all the girls on the team, seemed super nice, super welcoming. So I guess I just picked it because it was a good distance away from home.
For sure. And real quick, Brett, do you know the amount of hours away San Diego area is from Dominican?
Dude, it's about a 4-hour flight. And honestly, okay, if you're gonna even consider driving that, I want to say it's either a day and 8 hours or closer to 2 days, somewhere in that range. So it's something that I'm personally never going to attempt myself, but I invite everyone listening to go ahead and give it a go if you'd like.
And I thought I had bet at 11 hours. I always tell people I drive 11 hours to get up to school here. And they're like, oh my gosh. And the craziest thing is I did have a few people, my freshman year, ask if I was a commuter, and I go, well, because I don't hate myself. And I'm like, I get traffic will make some car trips around here long, so people are a little further than what, you know, some of us might be used to. But I was like, yeah, I'm not going to commute 11 hours, you know, to come up here. But, you know, kind of like it's almost a mix of you both, is how I found Dominican, though I always joke I Googled Dominican, really my dad did, because around the seventh grade, years ago now, I took a trip up to Chicago, and I was like, I want to live here someday. And so when college time came, you know, dad, trying to be helpful, started looking at places in Chicago. At that time, I was looking at studying theology, which I still have interest in, but I shifted majors to creative writing and communications. And but it was like one of those things of, oh, we could find a Catholic school to like teach theology. And so it was really just kind of going through the list of schools around here and, you know, what good benefits. And at that time I started reaching out. I reached out to the at time head cross country coach, Megan Vaccaro, who was an alumni of here, I'll add as well. And just, I just sent emails from her and started asking, okay, what's the school like? What's the class, like, what are like the normal class sizes? And when I heard there was no real lecture classes that you like, you see in the movies and it's like 50 billion people. And it's like, ah, yes, number 23 in the back row. What do you want? I was like, okay, cool. I can actually get to know people here. So yeah, that's, I really, you know, both of your is very true, I think. What would you say? And I'm going to kind of go back to these states we're from now. And what is something you kind of miss from home? Is it, you know, a favorite food dish? Because I know I like to eat. But is it like a favorite thing back home you miss that you're like, oh, if I had to tell somebody here at Dominican about something back home, what would it be?
I really, truly miss our state fair. I'm honestly a little disappointed that, like, Illinois doesn't have, like, as – doesn't make as big of a deal out of the state fair as Minnesota does, but it always happens like the last week of August, and it's on Labor Day, and like super good food, like they'll have concerts, really great rides, that type of thing.
Food that will probably also kill you though, because it's fair food, so it's a little like deep fried Twinkie something, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, it's like it's part of the experience. And,
oh, for sure.
Yeah. But it always happens, like, right as I'm leaving to go to preseason, like, for soccer. And that is, like, and I'm so excited to, like, finally have the chance to go this summer. Because, you know, I'll be done. I'll be graduated. I won't have any commitments. So I think that would be the one thing that I do miss.
Yeah.
It's nice. That's nice. I'm going to be honest. I'm still thinking about that commuting thing you get both of you guys. Somewhere along the line, someone's geography teacher really, it is certainly a tough one. I mean, everyone seems to know where California is.
So. Oh yeah, like what is in this middle kind of northern part of the country? Is it just blank land? So
well, I feel sorry for those people that think Chicago's a state.
No.
Oh yeah, that's fair enough.
That's a tough one. But getting back on track here.
Yeah.
I honestly got two things I can think of right off the top of my head here about what I miss. Actually,
go for it.
Honestly, first and foremost, I love going to the beach, and like it's just not here, you know? Like
what? Lake Michigan isn't a beach?
Oh my god. No. Like, oh my gosh, just like walking on, like literally just even like walking on like the sidewalk next to the beach, just looking out over the ocean, just smelling the salt and sea. It's like, oh, it's like, it is for someone who just likes going to the beach. Let me tell you, it is something you really come to miss. But like, that's probably my biggest one. But honestly, second, I mean, I feel like this might be an obvious one here, but I really miss the weather there.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna be honest with you. You know,
miss your weather tune. I've never had it.
Coming out here, it was just like, you know, like I'd seen snow and everything before, but like, you know, it was like you just go up to the mountains for like a day or two, and you get to play in the snow, build a snowman, get to be like a little tourist for a day. Now it's just like I mean, when I was still valeting cars for baseball, I had to drive in it.
Oh,
yet people asked me to help them brush off their cars. I mean, like, I don't want to do that. Like, No way. Like, it's like literally, I was checking saying here. Let me pull this weather.
Go for it. Go for it.
Yeah, it is 57 in San Diego right now with no wind. And here, I'm sure it is a million times worse, but my goodness, I miss that so much. Literally, I miss just being able to, like, not check my phone about the weather and just go outside and do stuff.
When I went home for Christmas break, I, thinking of Chicago weather, packed, like, all these things of jeans. I get home and, you know, Oklahoma is not as sunny as California, but we still got our heat days and stuff. So I go home and I get back and it's like 70 degrees. My parents are like, wear your shorts. I'm like, I came home for Christmas break. I wasn't thinking about what shorts I was going to wear, but they're like, yeah, Matthew, you've been out of Oklahoma too long, because I will fully say that's for Oklahoma. It's the one thing I don't miss, because it gets way too hot in the summer and the winters aren't bad, but it's just kind of boring then because it's somewhat cold, and then you get no snow, and you're like, this is just boring.
Respect.
Say, I'm not going to lie. I don't even know what's in Oklahoma.
A few things in Oklahoma. So Oklahoma has a lot of wheat fields. So, you know, I always, you know, talking about geography, people go up here like, oh, you know, do you go to the corn fields? And I'm like, we don't really have corn in Oklahoma. We have wheat. You know, it's in the song, the waving wheat sure smells sweet. Yes, I do know the Oklahoma State song pretty much by heart. I don't, you know, it helps that it was a musical and I'm a theater kid. So the thing is just tons of indigenous people cultural centers. That's like actually one of the cool things about Oklahoma is, yeah, because we don't try to strive away from that part of the state. And it's actually one of the cool things, like on top of our Capitol building is an indigenous person that we call the guardian. So it's not like, you know, Davy Crockett, just an indigenous person. I thought that was really cool that our state always does. You know, one thing I always miss is, and this will reveal how much of a foodie I am, is good barbecue. There is not a ton of great barbecue places around here. I'm sorry for any of those who really like Russell's, which is like down the block from Dominican, but not as many great barbecue places around here, at least the way I like it. And so when I go home, I'll always go and hit the barbecue places up. I will say on the flip side is I have found so many other like kind of cultural foods I really like. One being the Alpine Sub place, which is next to Johnny's. And it's like an Italian deli that's been open since like the 1950s and like, or something like that. And it's just like, man, that is a good sub sandwich. I'm like, you know what? It's not barbecue, but I'll take good food wherever I can get it. So, you know, it's pros and cons to whatever you kind of miss back home and stuff.
Yeah,
but I'll give you that, because I'm gonna be honest, like, you know, San Diego's got like its good food, like pretty close to the border, great Mexican food. So that's one of the things I kind of miss a little bit. But like, I'll tell you what, I like, there's no hot dog stands, there's no deep dish, there's none of that
for sure.
I mean, they're like, they tell you like, go to Pizza Hut. That's the type of pizza.
They got a Little Caesars pizza, you know.
Yeah, I can't even do Little Caesars. I'm gonna be that's trash. I'm sorry if anybody likes Little Caesars out there.
But I actually do. It's $5 though. Hey, it's $5. I know what I'm gonna get, and so I'll accept that.
They guarantee you two things. They guarantee you it's gonna be hot and it's gonna be ready. They do not guarantee that it's gonna be good pizza.
Oh, that kills me, because you're not wrong at all. You know, I will. You know what? You're not wrong, and I will take it for that. You know, but
I'm sorry to any Little Caesars.
Like, it's like that, the feudalistic, how dare he insult Little Caesars, never listening to the podcast again. And I'm like, great, the brand's ruined because Brent went on about not liking Little Caesars.
We're losing sponsors.
Yeah. Well, this has been the last episode of Starcast, and yeah, lack of sponsors. You know, talking about, you know, you're talking about the time it takes to get from each of our states, what would you say it's like really kind of moving? Because I know for me, I take I pack for the year pretty much, you know, because it's not like a weekend trip home. Oh, it's an hour away. Oh, I need more clothes. I can go back, you know, grab stuff. What's it really like for both of you kind of moving states for theoretically a year or a semester, if you're like, oh, I'll use the winter break to reload on different clothes and such. But, you know, what's that moving process like for y'all?
I mean, I know for me personally, like, I have to get on a plane. So if my suitcase is over 50 pounds, then I get in trouble because that's $100. So,
Oh, yeah.
So I got to make sure that I pack the right clothes and just enough of them, because if I don't, then that's a big one out of my pocket there. And I'm going to be one of the people that's not very happy. So I try to, like, do enough. I mean, thankfully, I have friends around here. I have, like, a couple family members around. So it's like usually they'll take a little bit of each. I mean,
use your storage unit aspect, you know.
Exactly. So it's like I'm fortunate in that sense, but like for the most part, it's just I got to focus clothes and maybe like a couple little like extra things and then just pray that it's not over 50 pounds.
I didn't even think about that, Brett. That's insane. I don't think I'd be able to do that.
I hate it so much.
Because I have the luxury of having a car, and so
give me both.
Right? So like,
must be nice,
just, like,
honestly.
Brett, it's honestly, I don't even like care. Like, I'll bring so much stuff. I'll fill up my trunk. Like, I'll fill up the back of my car. Like,
The passenger seat has a little bit of something in it too. You're like, oh, this is like three extra blankets and a pillow.
Yeah.
Find something in the back closet of your room. Just like, yeah, that could go too.
Oh, exactly. 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 I mean, and it's like, I think the only thing that like sucked was when I moved off campus after freshman year, and you know, I moved into an off campus apartment, and you know, my parents had to drive down like with all of their furniture items. So like, I mean, like that kind of sucked, but I mean, again, like, you know, they only do it once a year. Like, I've moved.
Exactly.
I moved every single year that I've been here in different suburbs. So, I mean, it was easier like once I was down here, like that type of thing, but I don't know. I think I got it pretty sweet out of both of you guys. Like, I only got a 6-hour drive, and you know, I got a car, and you know, it's pretty great.
I'm lucky jealous, to be honest. Like, that's cool.
I will fully say I hate moving. I always have, in the sense of I'm a person, I always don't think, oh, I don't have that much stuff, and then it gets down to it, I'm like, I have so much crap. Like, and Brett, I'm going to talk about a little bit how much useless stuff I have in my room, but like, I have basically two boxes that are probably 20 pounds each just of comic books, because I'm a big old nerd, but it's one of those things of like, should I bring these? I never have time in the year to read them. Yeah, but go ahead, bring them, you know, it's like, is it necessary? Not at all. But I do feel that, because I do fly home when it comes to Thanksgiving break, which is a little different because it's a little shorter, or, you know, if there's ever like spring break, sometimes I'll fly down or something.
How long's the flight?
Like 2 hours. It's usually the time I as an English major, it's like, gotta write a short story for class. Well, 2 hours to go. Let's get typing, and I'll, you know, finish a 5-page short story in that time and just use the time wisely, or do some reading for a class assignment.
Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah.
My first final for honors seminar, I typed that on a plane.
There you go.
Yeah, it was like, do it, do it. What'd you say, Rachel?
Talk about the grind.
No, like legitimately though, like it was due in 2 hours. School, like I landed. I told my mom, I'm like, look, I need to eat something, but I gotta get home and turn this paper in. Like,
oh yeah,
so, legit. I got back home. I opened it. I did not read it over. I turned it in, and I got a B on it.
Hey,
I
take it
in the class.
There you go.
I'm sorry, I did not spend more time on that paper.
It's like the secrets come out on the podcast. Like, all these teachers realize, oh, these kids did what now? You know?
You know, like, the more you say, the more you realize you gotta apologize to someone about it.
Oh, yeah. No, but yeah, that's a nice thing. Have you ever flown home, Rachel, or just every single time just drove?
I've always drove, because you know how long the flight is? It's like 45 minutes.
No way.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair, you know.
I spend longer in the airport, like, trying to get on that flight than actually being in the air.
Yeah, that's like a quick little nap, and then you're back home.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
not worth it.
Oh, for sure. And especially, well, right now it might be, depending on what airline prices are at, but who knows with cancellations. Mm-hmm. But
that's the big thing right now.
I think I have seen every part of O'Hare. Do you guys get any of those questions of what it's like to be in Chicago or near Chicago? Because I say Chicago because I know there's people going, they're not in Chicago, you're in River Forest. I'm like,
Rachel, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, like, you say the Chicago thing, but, like, I'll actually say, like, Oak Park to people back then, and they'll actually know about Oak
Park. Oh, wow.
But they won't know about River Forest, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, like, when I first started telling people that I was going to Dominican, they're like, oh, you mean like, the Dominican Republic? And I'm like,
yes!
You wish I was going to the Dominican Republic. I wish I was, but no. Like, not to, you know, stomp on this school. This school's great. I don't know. I like Chicago. I like how, like, easy it is to, like, get around the city.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, though, I was a little overwhelmed by the size of it. Just to kind of put it in perspective, Minneapolis has 300,000 people, and, like, I live in a suburb of Minneapolis, probably, like, the same distance, like, from River Forest to Chicago. And Minneapolis has 300,000 people. Chicago probably has, like, what, 8 million or something? And Aurora, a suburb of Chicago, yeah, has 300,000 people. So I was a little overwhelmed. I was being like, wow, this city's huge. Like, I don't even know where to start, like, you know, exploring, besides the fact, you know, like, the Bean and, you know, Navy Pier and stuff like that. But I don't know. Chicago, I guess, will hold a special place in my heart. But I don't know if it'll beat how much I love Minneapolis.
Real quick to bring up about size. I am from Tulsa, Oklahoma, specifically, which has, when the last census came out, had about 400,000. The town my dad grew up in, called Collinsville, has about 5,000.
My gosh.
Currently, 6,000 and like 882 is what I'm seeing on Google right now. But like, I talked to him, he's like, yeah, that's, he's like, yeah, back when I was a kid, it was probably like 5,000, maybe even closer to 3,000. It was a place where, kid you not, your doctor knew your, you know, barber who knew the newspaper owner. It is small town USA. And so going and being close enough to, you know, that small town, really, and then coming to Chicago, I definitely see what you mean by, yeah, it's really big and there's a lot of people everywhere.
That's so interesting. I mean, for me, San Diego is like 1.2 million. So I've always, yeah. always had like the big city, everything else, like, you know, see a ton of people around doesn't mean much, you know.
It's, yeah.
It's like, that's so tiny. Oh my gosh. Oh,
it's pretty common in the Midwest, Brett.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, y'all are going to school me on this right now because, wow. Like, that is like, it's like such like a little baby town. Like, I mean, like, to me, it's so different. Like, honestly, yeah, like, it's cool. And then, like, you know, you get like consistency, see the same people all the time. Like, that, I think to me, that's kind of cool. But like, I don't know. It's like, it's so foreign to me because, like, you know, I'm just used to, you see the same people in like one kind of area and then you move on and you never hear from half of them again and everything else, you know, it's just like coming here. It's like, it's so weird that it's just like such like a small community. Like there's a ton of different like groups. Everybody knows each other. Mm-hmm. And I just like sit here thinking like, I don't know what to say. Like,
yeah.
And it's like a lot of, I don't know. One thing I will say about people here and out here at this school is like, you definitely get that, like all we're talking about, that small town vibe of like people are more willing to be like to introduce themselves to you, to actually get to know you. San Diego is like, you know, I mean, at least from my personal experience, like a lot of it is kind of like, you know, oh, you're in my class for now. Like we'll be friends for now. But like once I don't ever see you again, like we're done. Like,
yeah, it's like goodbye.
Like legitimately, like that's how it is. And it's just like, to me, like the idea of like people being like so like, you know, ready to introduce themselves and like wanting to make lifelong friends, like that's a kind of honestly more of a foreign concept to me. But
interesting.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. What about you, Rachel?
Brett, you like bring up that whole like friends thing or whatever, but I'm so used to it. I don't know, Minnesota is kind of being known for like the nice state, which really means like we're just really passive aggressive. It's kind of tough out there, man. But I mean, like it'll show off as nice, but like if you really get into it with like some people, it's passive aggressive. But like when people like actually like when I make friends, like they're like, yeah, like we're gonna be friends like for a long time, like, you know, even if we're like not gonna see each other for a while, you know. But the crazy thing that kind of happened is like, and I'm sure it happened to all of us, but you know, like you kind of like leave high school and then like you maybe talk to like a few of them like freshman year, but like now, like, I mean, I maybe talked to two people from my high school. That Dominican like does this where they are able, like, I feel like I'm gonna have like lifelong friends and stuff like that. But even like my professors, like they'll still remember that I'm from Minnesota. Like they'll still make like sports jokes and all that fun stuff because we all know that Minnesota sports suck.
but San Diego does too.
Yeah, I
don't want to talk about the Thunder right now.
Right, you can sympathize with me on that one, but basically, I mean, like, even my professors, like, they're just kind of, like, asking me questions about, you know, like, jobs and stuff. And I even had a professor the other day just being like, you know, I really don't want you to graduate, like, as much as I'm proud of you, like, I really don't want
you to graduate. That's so sweet.
Right?
That's cool. That's cool.
That's the crazy thing is, you know, talking about professors and stuff. Go home, and I'm talking to, you know, as Rachel was saying, that, you know, one or two friends I saw from high school, or sometimes I'll talk to some people I actually knew in elementary school just because we're still pretty close. I'm just like, yeah, you know, my parents have met a few of my professors and stuff, and it's just one of those things that are like, what? I'm like, oh yeah, and it's this great connection that we have and stuff, and it's one of the cool things about Dominican, you know. But I do want to talk a little bit about sports while we're all here, because, you know, being athletes and such. or at least the team dynamics of, sure, you know, Dominican, you know, we don't have to get into the nitty-gritty of, okay, this season did this and how, you know. Do you think you've had like a little bit of a different experience in some different ways from your teammates, and like in a good way, like, oh, you're taking this knowledge you had from being out of state and bringing it in? Or is there things that being on this team and being from out of state, you know, does affect, you know, oh, there's different, you know, culture background that you bring to the team, or, you know, different, you know, play styles that you're like, oh, well, when I played here, I learned this and that. But kind of what's just being from out of state, you know, for better, or, you know, some kind of maybe setbacks you might have faced come when being on a team that might be a little bit more commuter based, or everybody's from a little different places too at times. So what is that experience like? What kind of some of the team dynamics that you've seen for better, or maybe at times worse? So,
Brett, I'd almost want to like hear your perspective first, because I know the majority of the baseball team is like literally from Las Vegas, and you're probably one of the few people that is not from Las Vegas. So I guess I'd be curious to see what you have to say about this.
I mean, just like, I don't know, for me it's like, I'm thankful that, like, for the past 2 or 3 years, like you said, you know, like, struggling maybe with commuter teammates or whatever else. For me, like, a lot of my teammates and everybody else have been living on campus and everything else. So, like, the big thing that's, like, nice about being from out of state is that, I mean, you kind of got to understand that you either make it happen or you don't when it comes to people.
For sure. No, that's very true.
Like, if you don't make friends with your teammates in the first year, you're not going to want to be there. So, it's like, in that sense, like, I prepared myself. I was ready to come out. I wanted to be social. I wanted to meet people. I mean, thankfully, I got paired up with a really good roommate. We met
there
a
few
people. And it's like, to me, that was like one of the big things that I took, because I knew that there was one other guy coming from California, but he was still like 2 hours away from me. So I was I'm coming here. I don't know anybody. Like, this is my make or break chance to try and like live this new opportunity, like, far away from home. And like, that's another kind of like one of the things about living away from home is like, you got to understand what you're getting into. You got to be responsible with this stuff, be it your classes, eating, everything else, like time management, all that stuff really plays a factor in your success. So it's like, it certainly takes a lot, but it's like, again, for me, I knew that I was alone basically coming from California. So I had to do my best to ensure that I stayed afloat when it came to social, being social, or, I mean, honestly, even just in the classroom. Like,
yeah, 100%.
That was my big thing. So
100%. I completely agree with that, because really, as kind of you both have joked about, put yourself out there and be willing to do it. You know, you can't be just, you know, there's some great people out here who are going to be very kind and very supportive, but if you don't give it the time and give it that effort, you won't find it. So, Rachel, I'm now curious about your two cents on all of this, though.
Well, I guess, Brett, like, you and I are a little similar, because I was the first women's soccer, like, player from Minnesota that was joining the team. And I virtually, like you, I didn't know anybody. I knew one girl who was actually from California. she had guest played on my team, like when I played.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so, like, I knew her. And, like, that gave me some comfort. But, I mean, like you, Brett, like, I got paired with a really great roommate. But I think, sort of like the different things was, there was like a little different like style of play. And it was like interesting to, you know, get acclimated to sort of, you know, like the Chicago area, Illinois style, like their type of play. But I think, you know, other than, cause I mean, we like the team's kind of split, like half of us are like from out of state, but like most of them are from, you know, the West Coast. So they don't really have any experiences, anything like that, to relate to sort of the Midwest. And if anybody that I can relate to that, you know, is a commuter or like is from Illinois, I just feel like cultures are like really different across state lines. Mm-hmm. Like, even though they might be from the same region of, you know, the continental United States, but it was all new to me. That's all that I can really say about that.
You know, for cross country, at least there's no like cultural way to run, you know. I say that, but like, it's not, you know, I never saw like, oh yes, you learned how to run XYZ, I learned the so-and-so technique. The interesting thing for me, and kind of almost going back to our discussion on weather and such, was because it was so hot in Oklahoma, I was used to getting up at 5 a.m. to go run before it hit 100 at around, you know, 10 a.m. and it hit 100 in most days in Oklahoma, depending on, plus you get humidity at times and all the different things. You're going, really? I don't want this. And Oklahoma, surprisingly enough, is way more hilly than Illinois, especially the Chicagoland and some of its suburbs area. And so I was, you know, running hills, you know, doing training runs there. And so when it came time to come and run sports here, I was like, man, it's such a nice day out. And everybody else was like, what are you talking about? I am dying from heat. And I'm like, oh, this is like fall. I'm like, this is, you know, this is great weather. And they're just like, oh my gosh, he is crazy. He's actually crazy. And I'm like, oh, you know, I can actually sleep in here. I can, you know, do things before it gets too hot, you know, even in those earlier months of, you know, season, because for cross country it was kind of the fall time, and it was just one of those things of, yeah, I could really just do well on those, you know, cooler meets, but warmer for other people around here, because I was just used to different weather. So that was, you know, a great positive, and but kind of difference I saw. The other one was just saying, you know, different little sayings I would have that people always be like, did you just say, you know, y'all or something? And I'm like, yes, I did. You know, howdy, partner. I don't know. You know, because everything is Oklahoma super West. Everybody still thinks Oklahoma's super Western. And so they're like, I had somebody legit ask me one time, did you ride a horse to school? And I go,
no way.
No, but I knew actually several people who do own horses, but I nor did I ever see them ride it to school one day, except for I did know a guy who for prom one year brought one of his horses and was a knight in shining armor to ask prom date out. Oh yeah. I'm like, well, you know, you have the resources, why not do it, you know?
I mean, I respect the commitment.
And it was one of those things. It was like she said yes and all this thing, and it was, but I was like, I hope the girl I ever asked to prom does not expect that from me, because one, I don't have access to the same materials, you know. Not that I don't want to put forth the effort, it's just going like, I don't have that access to that kind of stuff, But kind of looping back to these aspects of athletics and stuff, what would you say is one of your best memories of being part of DU athletics?
Oh, my goodness.
I know, that's a really good question. And honestly, like, there's just, like, so many good memories.
Hey, I like to hear that answer before, like, crap, I can even think of one. That's always, like, the answer, like, oh, you know. No, but just one you can think of, or two if you can think of some smaller ones, I don't know, but just some good memories you have at DU athletics.
I mean, just, like, to be honest, like, the best time of the year, the time that you get to meet the most people on the baseball team is, like, it's the Florida trip, you know? We're all, like, it's four people in a room. We're all, like, moving around. We're all doing our thing. We meet up at breakfast. It's, like, we're all forced to be with each other, but, like, that's obviously not a bad thing, but it's, like, it gives you a chance to meet those people who you didn't already know all that well, and it's, like, there's not one specific moment, because, like, we'll just walk around the hotels. There's an ice cream place nearby that everyone goes to, just gets ice cream and talks. I mean, it's just, there's so many good moments in those Florida trips. It's the nice weather. It's the baseball games, you know? It feels like, it almost feels like spring training instead of, like, you know, we're freezing our butts off. And like, it is so nice. And it's just, it is such a great experience that, like, honestly, there's no one particular memory out of that that's been the best for me. But, like, those two trips, those two times we've went have been unbelievable. They are some of the most fun I've ever had.
That's awesome. That's really cool, yeah.
That's awesome. I would have to say probably making it, like, going to the national tournament, you know, two out of my 4 years playing. And I think winning that game this past season, winning the first round, because we'd never won a game in the national tournament before in the history of the program. So, like, being a part of that team, that historic team, and just sharing that moment with you know, a bunch of ladies that I absolutely love, was really a cool moment. And, you know, like, to have my parents be there, especially, like, when we won that game, and unfortunately when we lost the next one just the day after, you know, that was kind of the end of my, you know, higher level soccer career.
Yeah.
I think, like, that those two moments were probably the best.
That is so cool, though.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And it's not only is it there with the team and, as you said, the amazing people who are on it, but also just connecting back to that family aspect of just the people there with you, and you could see these amazing things that you've done in your time here at Dominican. For, you know, me, it's kind of like a spread out memory of biggest things is we used to do movie nights on the nights before a meet, running movie nights. We'd watch, like, the Prefontaine movie or Unbreakable, anything that McFarland USA, we'd watch these, like, running based movies all together the night before and get some pasta to carb load. And, you know, we would just come together and do this as a team. And it was actually something we also brought, you know, recruits into too, and showed that this is what the team dynamic is like, because running is one of those sports that there is a team aspect to it, and you should really encourage your team, but you're also running more individually. So it's, you know, our practices are always a little different than other sports, but these are the moments we could show this is what it's like, not only if you live on campus, because it has a little, there's actually these movie nights and team events, but really kind of what it's all about to be, you know, a star. And I mean that as both the, you know, student at Dominican, but the sports teams are the stars, you know. That's, I think those are the kind of memories kind of each of us share that really shows what it's like to be an athlete here at Dominican in different ways. And that way community kind of builds back into how we live with our sports. It's not just about, you know, winning or getting, you know, top place in tournaments and stuff. It's about the people we meet here and those great experiences we have. Now, we are getting to the end, and I would like to, you know, ask one final question to you both. And that is, but what does being an athlete mean to you? And what is your advice or encouragement for other athletes who might be looking to come to Dominican who are out of state or a commuter, but, you know, to those who are a little uncertain about coming here, what's your advice or encouragement and kind of what is it like being an athlete to you?
I would have to say, well, being an athlete, I mean, it's having like a passion for whatever like sport or activity that you're participating in. And it's having enough passion to willing to sacrifice literally everything just to continue playing that sport. Like, I'm sure that we've all had to do some pretty great sacrifices to, you know, continue doing what we love. But I really think that it's just being an athlete is the willingness and having the passion to continue to compete and play the sport that you love at the highest level that you possibly can. And I think for advice or encouragement, I think that, you know, kind of back to how I found Dominican, like, just really leave no stone unturned. Like, you could honestly find the best team, the best experiences on, you know, at a school that you probably have never heard of, which is in the case of both Brett and I and probably you, Matt. But I really think that, you know, just take the risk and that just know that Dominican is probably the most welcoming school that I have been blessed to, you know, be like to be given a tour of and to, you know, be a student here. So
I think I can say for myself personally that, you know, being an athlete, it's just, I mean, you're a representative of your university. You're supposed to be what the university stands for. So you want to make sure that you're professional in what you do, who you are. I mean, an athlete is somebody who takes care of their own business, but also takes care of business with their team. You got to want everything with your team, kind of like what Rachel was saying. One of my biggest pieces of advice is do not play college sports if you do not want it, because you'll be miserable. If I didn't want to play baseball so badly, it is a commitment. It is literally, you have to manage your time in the spring for me to a T. You have to make sure that you're getting everything done, as well as that you're getting to practice on time. You're making sure you're eating enough, drinking enough, doing all the right things. It's not just a walk in the park. It's not like high school sports. You really have to get it done. However, my other piece of advice for people who are on the fence about it but really like playing their sport, like Rachel said, take that risk. I promise you, if you are ready for it and you're responsible with what you do, going out of state or going away from home is one of the most fun things you can do, because now it's all on you. You get to forge your own path, per se, you know? You get to do what you want to. Nobody's there to tell you what you can and can't do. You can do what you want to. And, you know, again, it's a gift and a curse. You just got to make sure that you're responsible with it. But you can also have some fun along the way.
Yeah, you gotta find that little space between the fun and the curse.
You don't want to have too much fun.
Exactly. It's, balance is always good. You know, balance is always, you know, you both, I think, nail it on the head. Because it really is a leap of faith, you know, and because when I even look at it, I'm an only child. My parents were always like, I really thought, because my mom was actually my principal for 11 years in grade school. So I'm very close to my parents, but like three person unit. And when I tell people, yeah, I'm going to Chicagoland, they were like, oh my gosh, are your parents okay with this? I was like, they're the ones actually push me forward in this, because they knew a leap of faith like that would be good for me. And I think it's something that, like both of you said, I encourage it as well. If you're out there and you want a new adventure in your life, even though it'll come with hardships, and that's life in general, I hate to tell you that right now, but that's life, you know, but take that plunge. You know, if you have that passion there, Dominican's a great school for it too, because really most, you know, it's not like big state schools that might be a little, you know, hard to play your sports. Really, everybody has an opportunity to shine and play usually on our sports teams, at least I've seen. And, you know, it's one of those things that if you want to play your sport, you know, at a college level and just enjoy that challenge, take that plunge, enjoy it, because you'll meet great people here. I think that's come across in this episode. Thank you both so much for being here with me and talking with us all. I look forward to, you know, Brett, you said your, you know, season's in spring. I look forward to seeing how that goes. And, you know, big round of applause for Rachel, who has, you know, finished soccer. And it's one of those crazy things that let's continue to watch and cheer on the Stars as they do all things at athletics. But both of you, thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you for having us. This is a great time.
It was a lot of fun, honestly.
Good, good.
Finally, we'd like to thank Shonda Dudlasek, Dr. Carolyn Reinhardt, Dr. John Jinks, and the WeatherTech Innovation Lab, who've helped provide the technology needed for this podcast. Thank you all for listening.